The Bears got some answers with this draft class, but there's still plenty of questions. Let's talk about
it. Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
What's going on, Bears fans, and welcome to another episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. Make sure to like, leave a comment, subscribe, share this with a fellow Bears fan, and just in case you are tuning in for the first time, if you're an audio listener, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music. You can find this show really everywhere you listen to your podcast, but if you're also a YouTube subscriber, you can watch the live show right now at 7 a.m. Let's freaking go. Wanted to get this podcast in early because I have some things going on later today, and I was supposed to do, you know, a show yesterday, but scheduling, timing, things just didn't work out. So wanted to get on here early enough today, get this show out there. But really quickly, you notice I'm wearing this sweet, sweet jacket. It's my grandpa's. Actually, yesterday was a full year since, you know, he had passed, and time just kind of goes so quickly, honestly, you guys, that you kind of even forget about it. But then, yeah, April 30th. So rocking my grandpa's jacket, and appreciate some of the messages that people have sent me. So it was, it's really nice of you guys. Another thing, just it's weird how life works too. Like yesterday, you know, honoring my grandpa who lost his life, but then it's weird because today's May 1st, and a year from now my fiance and I will be married. It's so crazy, celebrating a new part of our lives. So it's just crazy how life works. But yeah, so I don't know, crazy couple days, but let's get into some football talk. Just wanted to get that out here at the top of the show. So with the draft over and done with, guys, I mean, a week ago today, we were anxious to find out who the Bears were going to draft number 10 overall, right? End up being Colston Loveland. And now we have some answers with this draft class, but as this show is titled, there's still some questions about this Bears team following the draft. So this is actually going to be This exact topic. Is if you're someone who likes to read articles and things like that, I'll have this exact article on Bear Goggles on most likely later today. So you can read that if you don't get a chance to watch or listen to this show at any point. But it will be out here for anybody who likes to read articles. So Bear Goggles on, top three biggest questions about the Chicago Bears following the 2025 NFL draft. But for you live viewers, you get it right here, right now. So let's get into it. And you know what? I dabbled in some graphics here too. So let's freaking go, because we're just gonna drop this first question here. And I want to see if anybody can guess what I'm thinking is the top question with this Bears team. Maybe there's a little bit of debate, but for me, as I'm thinking about this team right now as it stands, who plays offensive tackle and where? And now I ask this question essentially because of the Ozzie Trapillo pick. And nothing against Ozzie Trapillo, but this, I think, when you think about it, someone who has played primarily right tackle at his time in Boston College. And I have some of the stats here. Lining up at the position for 1,483 snaps over the last 2 years and 646 snaps at left tackle during his freshman season. So Ozzie Trapillo, as of recently, is more familiar with the right tackle position. Bears have a top 10 pick in the right tackle already on the roster with Darnell Wright. So that's why I pose this question, who's playing tackle and where? And 2 days before the 2025 NFL draft started, we got a chance to hear from Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham. And Ryan Poles kind of opened things up about the possibility of Darnell Wright potentially playing left tackle. And I have that quote here in case anybody forgot about it or, you know, just wants to hear it. But this is Ryan Poles 2 days before the NFL draft when asked about Darnell Wright and, you know, the possibility of playing, you know, left tackle if something materialized in the draft. Something didn't materialize with Ozzie Trapillo. And this is Ryan Poles' quote. "I think that's a conversation we'll see how everything goes. He clearly has the ability to play left and right. We saw that in college. That was a part of the value in taking Darnell. So if he had to play left, I think he could play left. I think we're all excited about his stuff going right." Okay, so there it is. Now, really quickly, in that quote, Ryan Poles mentions that he has played left. And Darnell Wright has, but here's what it looks like. Wright played left tackle during his sophomore year at Tennessee and played 920 snaps there in 2021. However, everybody, throughout Wright's collegiate and NFL career, 2 years in the NFL, he is lined up at right tackle for 3,587 snaps. That's college and the NFL compared to the 920 snaps he's had at left tackle. So, obviously, when you look at the totality of Wright snaps, he's played more on that right side in college, in the NFL. Ozzie Trapillo has also played more at right tackle throughout his collegiate career, 2 seasons there at that position compared to 1. So what are the Bears going to do? Where are they going to actually think about moving Darnell Wright from the right side to left, even though he has more of his experience on that right side, so that Ozzie Trapillo can potentially take that spot and you move Darnell Wright to the left side? Then what about what happens with Braxton Jones, who is still recovering from his, fractured fibula? You also have Karana Magaji, who Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham have talked about. And so has Dan Rochard, the offensive line coach, in high regards. So there's a lot of questions, I think, just circling in my mind about what the Bears are potentially going to do. To me, like, honestly, it's May 1st. I don't think they consider move. Well, not that they don't consider. I just don't think Darnell Wright moves from right to left tackle. That's just me. Not any source or anything like that. Just my opinion of it. I want to see if the Bears think that Ozzie Trapillo can play left and just be another person in the competition at that position as of right now, because Braxton Jones can't really compete at that point as of right now. He's still recovering and is going to be limited in training camp. So it's really a Karana Magaji, and if the Bears consider moving Ozzie Trapillo from the right to the left, and then you see who kind of wins that out. Okay, the Bear right here in the comments. "I think they let Trapillo challenge at left tackle initially." Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of where I'm leaning. Or, guys, could this be something where, just think of different scenarios of how this can play out. Do they just allow Trapillo as a second-round draft pick, 56 overall, to sit, watch, and learn? And obviously, you're cross-training him at left and right. I don't even know if that's a great idea. Or maybe you find a position for him, let him learn that position, and then Karana Magaji is taking those first team reps until Braxton Jones can come back. And then once he's healthy, then you see which one of those two guys is better. But at the same time, you're allowing Ozzie Trapillo to learn the NFL game, learn this playbook, get reps at whatever position you feel comfortable with him at. And then you see that can also be a scenario. I just don't, it's like impossible to say right here, right now, but that's why for me, it's the biggest question on this Bears team. Because I say maybe sit, but also he's a second round draft pick, 56 overall. Is that what you're going to do? Just have the guy sit and watch? Maybe. We don't know. And that's why I have this right now as the biggest question on this Bears team, because you have to get it right. And moving right to left might not be the correct way to go about, you know, his development. He's still a young football player. Like, you don't want to put him on the left side, which might derail him but also it allows maybe Ozzy Chirpilla to be more comfortable early on. So there are pros and cons whichever way you look at it. Like I said earlier, my opinion is that Wright still plays right tackle, and I'm curious to see what they think of Ozzy Chirpilla and if he can play that left side and just be another one of the, again, another person in that room competing for that job. So it's going to be fascinating. And it was just announced, yesterday, May 9th through the 11th, rookie mini camp. I'm curious, where does Ozzy Chirpilla line up initially? And so, you know, sometimes the availability during that period of, camp, we don't get to see everything, but maybe it might just be just enough to see where they initially line him up. And where they start him at now may not be where they start him at later, right? Look, I mean, hey, we have another chat here. Got to leave Darnell at right tackle. He's been solid there. Don't open up a second question mark spot on the line. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a really good point, too. Do you want to create more question marks? One, you want to see how Ozzy Chirpilla can translate from Boston College to the NFL. But then if you are moving Darnell Wright to that left side, we need to see how he would perform if that's what the Bears are considering doing. It does get more questions come up. I think most people wanted the Bears to draft a tackle. They did. He's drafted someone who has played primarily right tackle the last two seasons. So that's where it gets a little complicated. Whew. All right. Should we go into question? Yeah, we'll go into question two because I didn't even tease this at the top, but there's already, justified or not, not MVP talk for Caleb Williams, but the idea, can Caleb Williams be an MVP candidate now that he has all these weapons? And I saw this, I was at the gym yesterday early morning, and it was Theo Riddick, and they have this segment called Is That Ridiculous? Caleb Williams will be an MVP candidate in 2025. Lewis Riddick, that's not ridiculous. I think most Bears fans know, like, we've heard this about Justin Fields, probably Mitch Trubisky, so we'll talk about it towards the end after the three questions, but that is also coming up. So let's get into this second question that I have for the Bears right now. And this should be to no surprise too, but considering how much interest the Bears showed in wanting to move up for a running back, my second question that I have, how did the Bears feel about the running back room? And I ask this because, well, that smoke about wanting to move up for Ashton Jeanty, there was some legitimacy to that. And the Bears were fielding calls, seeing what they had to give up to jump the Raiders. And obviously things did not materialize for the Bears, so they could not get Ashton Jeanty. But then Dan Weir had a great article that came out, was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday, detailing how the Bears were wanting to move up in that second round to number 35, where with the Seahawks. I think it was with the Seahawks. No, the Bears couldn't secure. Yeah, with the Seahawks, but or number 35, and then just didn't happen. And even at 38, one spot ahead of the Bears with the Patriots, that didn't work out, and the Patriots end up taking Travion Henderson. So knowing that the Bears missed out on those two guys and then ultimately end up with Kyle Monagai from Rutgers, how do the Bears feel about this running back room as it stands today? Because when you look at that room, you have DeAndre Swift, Roschon Johnson, Travis Homer, Ian Wheeler, who had the ACL injury. I believe it was a preseason game against the Kansas City Chiefs, if I'm not mistaken. And then you have Kyle Monagai. So is that it? And I can see this in a scenario where this is it, where the Bears feel like, okay, we didn't go get that guy, that young player in the draft, high draft pick. So we're going to roll with this. I could see a scenario where that plays out. But there's also been, and I talked about this on Tuesday's show, right? Was it Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday's show. Sorry, Thursday. crazy. A lot of smoke about Nick Chubb. And I understand it. 29 years old, has only played in 10 games the past two seasons. But before that, I mean, the guy had four consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. I mean, was carrying the rock damn near 300 times in his last full healthy season. I mean, was a juggernaut. It, with that Cleveland Browns offense before some of these lower leg injuries started to affect him. And then we just haven't seen one Nick Chubb healthy or the opportunity to be that back that we once saw. So is that something that the Bears also want to go and pursue potentially, or is it a J.K. Dobbins who's coming off his best career year? He was also dealing with an injury right before the 2024 season, only played week one and then was out for the rest of the year. With his, I believe, ACL injury. So there are options there, but is that what the Bears want to do, add a, you know, a veteran like that to this room? Or do they just say, hey, we have this improved offensive line. We've drastically improved the interior. We have Ben Johnson's scheme. We have Eric Bieniemy as our coach. Let's run with these guys and see how it translates. And maybe there's a point where, like, you're going through camp, you go through the veteran mini camps, training camps, and you're not seeing what you want to see out of a Kyle Manung guy for whatever reason. It's not as confident, maybe Roschon Johnson. You could always bring in somebody at that point, but maybe they let it play out a little bit. See how these guys are performing in camp. See how they're doing, you know, in the film room. Just to figure out that, and then you maybe bring in a veteran if you don't feel comfortable. Because I feel like you don't need to bring them in right here, right now, especially with those two guys who've been in the league for a little bit. They can come in a little bit later and then pick up the scheme because they've been in the league, been in a couple of systems that it's not as apparent for them. Oh, we need this veteran right here to be in the room. So that can also be an option for the Bears. But the thing I go back to is, like, the Bears showed significant interest in wanting to move up to get the best running back in the class in Ashton Jeanty and to get an absolute home run hitter in Travion Henderson, and came away with Kyle Manunga in what was considered a very deep running back class. And then, you know, they just had some unfortunate events, especially in that fourth round, heading a couple of guys, Cam Scadaboo being one of them, go before. I still don't know if they were in on my guy, Caleb Johnson from Iowa, but it's here nor there. But that's why I asked this question. How do the Bears feel about the running back room as it stands today? Maybe Ian Wheeler is a guy that they like because of his speed. Obviously going, you know, recovering from the injury, Roschon Johnson, and maybe they like his ability to pass protect. And that could be, you know, someone as a third down option, caught a couple passes last season. I don't know at this point. We haven't, you know what, to be completely honest, I don't know how many questions have been asked to Eric Bieniemy, Ben Johnson about Roschon Johnson. I mean, I know Ben Johnson talked about DeAndre Swift and has said some positive things about him going back to their time in Detroit. But other than that, there hasn't been too many questions about, I think, the whole running back room. Not that I'm aware of at this point. But we'll get some answers actually during rookie mini camp. We'll have some of the coaches available to speak to us. So that'll be hopefully a time to get some insight, some clarity on some of these guys. But yeah, how do the Bears feel about this running back room? Is it inevitable that they add somebody else? Or actually, I'm curious with you guys, you Bears fans right now that are in the chat, if would you feel comfortable with this Bears running back room if this was it? DeAndre Swift, Roschon Johnson, Travis Homer, Ian Wheeler, Kyle Manungai. Five guys. Decent burgers. But that's it. How would you feel? All right. We have one more question to get to. But before we actually get to that question, we have to get to you know, some of our sponsors here. And as you guys know, who come to watch, listen to the Nicholas Moriano Show, wouldn't be a possibility without my guys at Windy City Sports Cars. They specialize in buying and selling all things related to Chicago sports. So whether you're a diehard fan of the Bears, Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, or Blackhawks, they've got you covered with an extensive selection of sports memorabilia and collectibles. In addition to those Chicago focus items, everybody, they also offer a vast collection of sports trading cards and memorabilia from your favorite teams and players. You can visit their online store to find exactly what you are looking for to complete your collection or to discover a new favorite. You can check them out at 312windycitysportscards.com. That's 312windycitysportscards.com. Also, I have to, absolutely have to tell everybody about my friends at Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville. It's a one-stop shop for all your needs, everybody. And what I mean by that, sales, service, parts, body shop. It's all available at Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville, located at 1050 South Milwaukee in Libertyville, Illinois. The team prides themselves on their service, winning dealership of the year twice. So you can check out their website, too, at NapletonCadillacLibertyville.com to see all their new and pre-owned vehicles, including the new all-EV Cadillac Lyriq. Also, make sure to subscribe to their YouTube channel to view more of those vehicles, which you can find in the description below, everybody. It's that easy. Napleton Cadillac of Libertyville, your one-stop shop for all your needs. And really quickly, too, you know what? I actually just I went to go play basketball this morning at 5 a.m., just shoot some hoops. Haven't done that in a while, but right after, had my protein 2-0. You get your 20 grams of protein, your 350 milligrams of electrolytes, only 90 calories, and strawberry watermelon, fantastic flavor. They also have orange, mango, a bunch of great flavors, and you can get them on Amazon and probably everyone's like go-to store is Target. You can get them there as well. So make sure to check out Protein 2-0, especially if you're not a fan of some of those protein shakes. Thick, it just, you know what I'm talking about. If you had protein shakes, sports drink, Protein 2-0, 20 grams of protein, 350 milligrams of your electrolytes. All right, guys, let's continue this Nicholas Moriano show. Make sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment, and let's get to question three here, because this was also something I thought the Bears were going to address in the drafts, but they didn't. So question three here, is there enough talent on the edge? So I think that was, when I was asked right after the NFL scouting combine, right after the NFL scouting combine ended, I was still at the NFL scouting combine. I forgot who asked me this, but what was going to be the Bears first round draft? I said edge, and I still viewed edge as a major need on this team, despite the Bears going out and signing Dio Dangbo. But you just want to have not just two capable guys in Montez Sweat and Dio Dangbo. And Dio Dangbo, to be completely honest, the 3-year, $48 million deal with $32 million guaranteed, we still need to see Dio. He needs to earn that contract, right? Like, this is a guy that, former second-round draft pick, fourth season in the NFL, finished with 3 sacks, 31 combined tackles, 2 forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery. You know, like, he did have 42 total pressures, career high. But the 25-year-old had his most sacks in his career in 2023 with 8. So I think there's just some mixed feelings about still a young player. I think an ascending player, someone that obviously fits the scheme of what Dennis Allen wants in a defensive end. But it's just going to be interesting that, you know, that is who's going to be starting opposite of Montez Sweat. And Montez Sweat had it down here as well, too. He was definitely dealing with some injuries. But it's behind that is where why this question comes up. Is there enough talent on the edge? Because really, those two are going to have to perform and perform at a high level. Because when you look at the guys behind them, that's where, you know, things get a little uncertain. With Austin Booker entering his second year after playing just 282 total defensive snaps. Dominique Robinson played in 6 games and totaled just 84 defensive snaps. You have Daniel Hardy, a former 7th-round draft pick out of Montana State, 31 defensive snaps for the Bears. So it'll be interesting. Like, those are the guys that the Bears are going to have to deploy. Actually, I know I'm forgetting one more on here. Jamari Croma, I believe. And then also, you know what? Shamar Turner, also another Bears second-round draft pick, he does have some flexibility to bounce outside, inside. He was playing more inside this past season at Texas A&M, but he also has that versatility, or has played on the outside as well. So what there's just, I think, different combinations of how you can deploy these guys. But is there enough actual just talent in that room when Montez Sweat has to come out for a drive, for a couple of snaps, or same thing with Dio Dangbo? Do you feel comfortable with that second wave? And you know what? Honestly, this is not a finished room by any means. If, you know, I kind of expect at this point the Bears to go sign some veteran. I don't have names for you at this moment in time. That's probably a good episode for another day, but it just feels like they would do more. Right? Just to kind of add a little bit more reliability, I think would be the best way for me to put this, because although, you know, Austin Booker, I'm sure the Bears have some, you know, have confidence in him going into year two. It's a lot to put on a guy that, like I said, has only played, 282 total defensive snaps. He's going to get more opportunities, but I don't know. I think we just need to see a little bit more proven talent, even if it's on the back end of most of these guys' careers, just to have in that room just in case. But I mean, it is still a question mark that I'm thinking of at this point in time, as we're kind of evaluating the Bears' defense and how they can get better. And you know what, too, what's going to help these edge rushers is that interior pressure. So it needs to be better and more consistent from a guy like Jervon Dexter. You need to have Andrew Billings stay healthy, but you did bring in Grady Jarrett for a reason. And the Bears feel confident despite, you know, being just turning 32 a couple days ago here, that he can still produce. And behind that, you do have Shamar Turner, who has all the energy in the world right now. So you need to see him go out there and ball out when he gets his opportunities. And he definitely should. Just looking at, you know, the snap counts from last year and, you know, where he's going to fill in. Shamar Turner is going to get playing time, you guys. So he needs to go out there and show that he can be a capable person that can dent the pocket, create more opportunities for these edge rushers to hit home. So that's going to be, you know, thing that I'm watching for. I see Howie in the chat putting a couple of chats here in a row. We set versus the run, DN, Montez, Dio, Turner, Booker, Hardy, but not on third down pass rush. That's a good point. Yeah. Who, you know, what are they going to do with, what are they, those turbo packages where you do bring in guys to rush the passer? You know what? And maybe that's where, like, a guy, like, if Booker comes in. Because I remember just talking to Travis Smith, the old Bears defensive line coach last season, that unorthodox way of rushing the passer, because he has long legs. I mean, just legs for days. Adding a little bit more weight and seeing how you can maybe deploy a guy like that into your defense, maybe that's something that Dennis Allen's thinking of. And I don't know if Booker's only run only. I mean, he still needs to put on more weight there, Howie, I think, to even set the edge a little bit better. So maybe we'll see, though. We'll see how Booker develops in year two. And that's why they have, you know, the guys that they have to develop. You have some of these veterans to learn from. Like this, it'll be a big year for Austin Booker, who the Bears moved back up into last year's draft to come and go get. Yeah, so those are really, I think, the three top questions that I have when thinking about the draft, how it all played out. The Bears didn't get an edge rusher, and that's why this question pops up here. And the only way that they kind of address that pressure up front is with Shamar Turner, who, you know, I'm still going to do more homework on him, but, you know, first impression, do like what he could potentially bring. Do like that. All right, you guys, let's get into really quick. I don't know how much we're going to go into this, but it is interesting, and I don't have a graphic for this. I probably should have made one, but oh well. You got these three. And start, super easy to do. So I don't know why I don't continue to make graphics. But like I said at the top, or kind of the middle of the show, I was at the gym yesterday. They have ESPN on all the TVs at Bears Fit, and you know, they were going through segments, and that's a thing. When you get done with the draft, obviously you'll have rookie mini camps and veteran mini camps, mandatory, voluntary, all this stuff, the different phases in the offseason. But you gotta fill time. We're filling time right now, talking about the three biggest questions. So I don't fault ESPN for doing it, but it's the same old song and dance, to be completely honest. And ESPN has a segment, "Is This Ridiculous?" for Lewis Riddick. And the question, or the statement, "Caleb Williams will be an MVP candidate in 2025. Lewis Riddick, that's not ridiculous. Okay, like, it's not, but we need to see Caleb Williams in this offense, and he has all the weapons, the offensive line to succeed. But again, my first biggest question is at the offensive tackle spot, right? So we need to see what the Bears actually do there, because that's going to be a pivotal piece if Caleb Williams is going to stay upright or not. How they configure the guys on at those two positions, left tackle, right tackle, with the rest of the line. But for Caleb Williams, a guy that obviously showed plenty of flashes in his rookie season, right? But he was also sacked 68 times. That's why they went out and addressed the offensive line as they did. But a 62.5 completion percentage, 3,541 yards, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. That's what you got from Caleb Williams playing all 17 games last season. And that's also, I think something that isn't maybe talked about as much, but just being healthy throughout the entire year, that's great. That's great. And you know what? I want to see if I can find this in, because when I tweeted that out, just the picture of that segment, I believe somebody had responded saying that there hasn't been, here we go, Adam Nessel, shout out to you. In NFL history, there has only ever been 2 second-year players to win MVP. Two. Anybody want to take a guess before I rattle off these names real quick? One is a quarterback. The other is a running back. So only in NFL history, according to Adam Nessel here, there's only ever been 2 second-year players to win MVP. First one, Dan Marino in 1984 and Jim Brown in 1958. And Jim Brown also happened to win his rookie of the year. That's insane. Only two to ever win it in their second year. Will Caleb Williams be the third? I'm not going to come out and say to you on this podcast right here on May 1st that Caleb Williams is going to win the MVP. That's outrageous. Do I think he's going to have a jump in year two? Absolutely. If he doesn't, there's issues, because there's way too much talent on this offense, with the offensive line now being addressed, with the weapons he has, and the head coach who has the offensive mind that has taken Detroit to new levels since he's been there and was calling plays for the last 3 years. So you factor all that into the equation. Absolutely, Caleb Williams should be a more efficient quarterback, take far less sacks, and just be a distributor. That's the biggest thing I want to really see from Caleb Williams in year two. Just be I was playing basketball this morning. Be a point guard, man. I get it. Like, there's going to be times for him to make plays, something out of nothing. But for the most part, how this should work, and agree with me, do you agree with me? Like, he should be a point guard. Get the ball out and just distribute the football. Distribute the football to all these playmakers. You have DJ Moore. You have Rome Odunze. You have Cole Kmet. You have Colson Loveland. You have Luther Burden. Like, yeah, that's what it should look like. Absolutely, that's what it should look like. So if you're doing that, you guys, I don't see how he doesn't take a jump up, right? Oh, John, did he leave Mahomes off too? I mean, he did have the crazy second year. For whatever reason too, with Patrick Mahomes, kind of getting derailed here, but he sat his first year, and you know, for whatever reason, I always forget about that. But yeah, okay, there you go. In his second year, good catch, John. Appreciate you. Yeah. And so the fourth player. Hey, Adam. Appreciate you, man. But I mean, it was the most recent one. I don't know. So Patrick Mahomes. So that's three players to win MVP in their second season, with Patrick Mahomes being the third, Caleb Williams be the fourth. Appreciate you, John, doing the homework here, which I should have done. But I trust the people that interact with me on Twitter. I trust you guys in the chat. So appreciate all you guys. But that's what, if Caleb Williams can do that in Ben Johnson's offense in year one, then there's no reason why that even the 4,000 yard mark that has been something that Bears quarterbacks have just can't quite grasp, he should get there. And it's not all about that, to be completely honest. I know I mentioned that on last Tuesday's show. Talking about it, like, it's not like that shouldn't be the goal, but you can get to that, those stats, and also have success as a team, if that makes sense. Howie R. Bears, can I ask you a question? Of course you can. It's, yeah, let's go. Like, I mean, I love it when you guys ask questions so we can interact. That's a cool thing about this show too. I would assume all YouTube shows, but I want to lean into you guys and have conversations with you guys who are coming in, hanging out with me in the morning and talking some Bears football. Like, let's go. I'm all about that. Let's create this community and keep things going. Okay, Howie. But the wrap up the Caleb Williams MVP conversation, like, no, I'm not doing this, man. To be fair for Lewis Riddick, is it ridiculous? No. But I'm not. You're not going to see me at any point from here all the way before that first season or before that first game starts, say that Caleb Williams is going to be an MVP. Let's let this season kind of go play out. See how he's picking up this offense. See how he's utilizing all these weapons. Let's see how that line is blocking. And then maybe we can have an actual discussion once there's proven stats and, you know, a record to go with it. That's when we can have it. We have, really quickly, Howie R. Bears. Buffalo traded picks 132 and 169 in Chicago for 109. Why was this trade 20% lopsided against us when all others with Buffalo were even? They should have included 177 netting us Ollie Gordon, Dev Neal. You know, why was it so lopsided? Or why was it lopsided? Why was this trade 20% lopsided against us? I mean, 109? Yeah, no, I mean, I don't have a great answer for you, Howie R. Bears, but I mean, obviously, when you're dropping that far back, I mean, I guess that's where however the algorithm works, that's why you would be lopsided one way over the other. You know, 132, 169. I mean, obviously, you know, there's been talk about this draft going, once you get into the second or third rounds, it's good talent. But, you know, past that, I think consider overall a weaker draft. So I think you would just want to have that, the 109 be a little bit higher there. So, but yeah, no, Ollie Gordon, where did he end up even going? Because that was actually somebody early on, pre-draft process, I was like watching out for, and also somebody that was at the Senior Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, honestly, there's a lot of these guys that I had watched before where I'm like, I don't even know where, you know, they ended up. I saw my guy, Andrew Makuba, safety, Texas, ended up with Philadelphia Eagles. I'm like, damn, I knew that he wouldn't go as late as somebody, as people were thinking. But, you know, goes to a good organization in Philadelphia, and I would not be surprised if that dude balls out. But, yeah. But, I mean, if the math says, I don't know. To be clear, I don't know why I was so lopsided. But, yeah, again, that trade happens, too, because of the running backs, I think, that, you know, end up getting taken there, right? In that fourth round, So Poles, like, let's see what we can recoup later on and still build this team. And that's what ends up happening there. Wonder what this draft would have looked like had they gotten Travion Henderson, though. I mean, then you're not getting Luther Burton, right? But you get Travion, do they, you know, would they have had, I don't think they'd have to give up 41. No way. So Travion, do you get an edge rusher there? Who knows? But all right, guys, I mean, that's what I wanted to talk about today. So we had our biggest questions, a bit of MVP, Caleb Williams. I'll try to ask when I get to, I honestly, I could just do more research into it as well. I haven't thought about it until just now when you brought it up. So I'll see if I can get to that and maybe have a better answer, but I can also ask people too, why I was so lopsided. But guys, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. Appreciate you hanging out with me. I know I've been bouncing around different times, working with, like I think I said earlier, a different schedule. So it's kind of put me in a interesting place when to go live, when to do things, but yeah, you're working with me. I appreciate it. So, and just in case, like, you can always tune into this show, obviously later on in your day when it's more convenient for you, or also just for people who don't watch the live show. Like I said earlier, it is also on your favorite podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, all on there. So go check that out as well. If you know, you're someone that likes to listen to these shows while you're driving, doing a workout, whatever it may be, you could do that as well. But everybody, hey, have a great rest of your Thursday. I will check in with you potentially tomorrow. Again, weird schedule, so I don't know exactly how it's going to all play out, but appreciate everybody for tuning in. Please like this show, leave a comment, share this podcast with a fellow Bears fan. They're looking for different Bears content. And what I'd like to say that I'm pretty good at, not to my own horn here, but I like to stick on the Bears football. But it doesn't have to be like, you know, man, just it kind of is topic after topic, but I do like to talk Bears football because I know that's what you guys enjoy. Will it be time to definitely, you know, go on tangents? Absolutely. But I do like sticking with the Bears football and, you know, this whatever podcast ends up being 40 minutes, 45 minutes, 50 an hour. It's going to be primarily Bears football, which I know you guys enjoy because you guys are dedicated Bears fans. And it doesn't matter whether it's May, April, August, you're going to be tuning in because you're dedicated to this football team. And there's some excitement, definitely buzz around the team after this draft was finished. But that's going to do it, everybody. I will let you know if I do a show tomorrow. But like I said, like, subscribe, comment. It's going to help me out, help the algorithm out, help get this show out to fellow Bears fans. So, all right, you guys, I will let you guys get to the rest of your day. But until then, Bear down, Chicago.
Bend over to your right.
What the was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.